Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. How's everyone today? This is Brother Nagaya, and we're going to pick up some classes. We're going to go over some insights, just some different things to kind of translate and gain some understanding in how to understand not only what the scriptures are talking about, but a practical way to apply them to our lives and what they mean and what the people in the past and the people of the scriptures went through and how we can apply them to our lives in a practical way, in an intelligent way, in a positive way, and guide our lives so that we can have better outcomes in our lives and build better relationships with ourselves, our families, and most importantly, the Most High. Because the thing is we live in a world that's full of people having their own ideas, moving upon life, moving in life, and doing things based on their ideas and their beliefs and what they feel. And it doesn't work. We find people with fame, with fortune, people have families, people who are single, and it's failed experiment is what it is. And that's why people who have wealth, they're still unhappy. People who have family still feel lonely. People who have jobs don't like the jobs. People who don't have a job don't like their lives. It's, you we hear people constantly talking about, if I won the lottery, and then you see where reports talk about a large portion of people that win the lottery wind up either murdered or kill themselves, or they wind up, at the very least, they wind up broke. And the common thread in that is that people aren't applying the manual to the earth in their lives. People aren't applying the tools, the guideline. They aren't using the guidelines of the earth and of life and proper living to their lives. And so since they aren't applying it, things don't work. And we find ourselves almost like we're walking up against a wall because we're not following the guidelines. We're not applying the guidelines. People say they do, but in actuality, they don't. It's no different than people will go to church and they sit and they sing the songs, they follow along, or they pray the hardest. But as soon as they leave church, they're full of road rage. They're cussing people out. They're being very selfish, being very prideful. They're not applying the guidelines. It's not just when you're at church on a Sunday or you're in front of other people. It's more important when you go home and when you're actually living your day-to-day life. And people are believing in what this world tells them, but the Most High has said that this world is definitely a backward place. Foundations of the earth are out of course, as the scripture says. And so what we need to do is take a step back and really think about how we're living, think about how we're doing things, and what we can do to make things better for our lives. Now, what that's going to take is it's going to take a lot of hard, as they call it, soul searching, looking within yourself, self-examination, in order to really dig deep. But digging deep, you have to go through the ugly stuff too. Each individual has to look at what they, look at how they are and how they view the world and how they view other people and how they view their relationships. And you have to examine those things and really, really go into yourself and see, what is it that I am doing? What is my perspective? And how is it opposed to what the Most High wants me to do? How is it opposed? Or what are those roadblocks that I'm putting in my own way? Many times people talk about how there are people that other people are putting things in their way. They're putting blocks. They're preventing them from being the best person they can be. The majority of the time, it's not other people. It's not schools. It's not the government. It's not the job. It's not, I don't have enough money. Most of the time, it's none of those things. It's you as an individual not doing what you need to do to be in line with the guidelines that the Most High has set for us. And so that's where we have to go to the book, and that's where studying and understanding, and not just studying, but meditating on what you study and understanding the book, the guidelines that the Most High set for us, gives you the beginning answers and gives you the roadmap to get to your destination. Now, what is the destination? Well, destination is peace of mind. The destination is heaven. And Christ said the kingdom of heaven is within. So peace, peace of mind, peace of body, all those things are started within. We have to go within ourselves to gain comprehension, to gain understanding, to gain that peace of mind. Because I can promise you, you win the lottery, that's fine and dandy, you pay all your bills, that's not necessarily going to make you happy. And we see people, we see very wealthy people who are unhappy because they haven't followed the guidelines. You see, Bill Cosby is very rich. I bet you ain't happy now. He's happy to be out of jail, but his career is ruined. His name is mud in the world. You know, you see people like Russell Simmons. He's run off to wherever it is, Malaysia or wherever it is, that doesn't have a agreement with the U.S. government with extradition treaties, so that the U.S. Government can go over and bring him back here to serve trial, you know, to stand trial here. You see what's happening with P. Diddy and all this foolishness. Got lots of money. They all have lots of money. But because they didn't apply the guidelines of the Most High, now all of that's coming upon them. It all boils down to how you conduct yourself. And so over the course of these classes, we'll talk about conduct, and we'll talk about different things as relate to modern times and as they relate to the people and the history and the examples and the interactions in the past. Because the scriptures say nothing new is that there's nothing new under the sun. And so we want to find out, how can I apply these things that happened in the past, that are happening now, that maybe they look different. We call them different things, but there's nothing new. It's all come back around. And so it's up to us to study and stay in these guidelines so that we can follow these guidelines. The same way that the other day I was thinking about how you can know a song and you know the lyrics to a song. You may have learned, you may have first heard that song when you were 7 or 8 years old, and you can be 50, 60, you can be 30, and you still, that song comes on, you still remember the lyrics to that song. But do you remember the guideline that the Lord said about what you're supposed to eat or what clothing is important for you to wear or how you should conduct yourself with other people? See, we know the lyrics to songs and half the songs. And if you out here, you know, we have these Instagram reels. We have the shorts for X. We have the TikToks. We have YouTube videos all showing people going over lyrics to songs. And especially songs that are older, from the 70s, the 80s, and people will sit there and actually go through the lyrics, and the comments are full of people saying, I had no idea. You know, this song, I've sang this song for 40 years, and I had no idea what they were saying. And the songs can say some of the worst, some of this stuff was racist, some of this stuff is sexist, some of this stuff is, it's about drugs and child molesting and all kinds of different perversions. And people were just singing it, and they say, as a child, I was just dancing and singing to this. And then they realize, oh, my gosh. But so they know the lyrics to songs like it was yesterday, whether the song lyrics were good or bad. But they don't remember what the Lord said to do on certain days. Or they never learned it. They never learned what you're supposed to wear and what you're not supposed to wear. And why is that important? Well, God created the earth. God created the manual to run the earth, to live on the earth, to conduct yourself on the earth, to be in harmony with the earth. And if you go outside of that, then you start having problems. And living in a society where we are reactive instead of proactive, our society is geared toward reacting to things. You go to the doctor, you have this ailment, you go to the doctor says, oh, well, you've got this particular sickness. Well, we'll give you this pill for the sickness. You say, okay, I'll take the pill. Then you go home and you start having some other ailments that pop up. The doctor says, you go back to the doctor says, well, the first pill I gave you has side effects. So we're going to give you another pill for the side effect, for one side effect. But it's got two other side effects, so I'm going to give you two more pills. So now you're taking one pill for the problem, three other pills for the side effects from the first pill that was to fix the problem. So now you've got four pills for one problem. But come to find out, your pH balance was off. Well, why was the pH balance off? Well, even modern-day science tells you you eat certain foods, you eat certain foods, drink certain foods, and it'll throw off your pH balance. Well, those foods, most of the time, all the time, are foods that are not within the guidelines of what the Lord said. And so it comes back to, okay, we need to try and do the best we can to eat the things the way the Most High wanted us to eat, the way he wanted us to eat them, to wear the things he wanted us to wear, to do the things he wanted us to do. We didn't do that in the past. That's why the world is where it is today. So we have to get into these other ideas. We have to get away from what we've been taught and indoctrinated in. So let's start with a topic today. Let's go to pride. And this is a good one. This is very important because pride manifests in many ways. And what I mean by that is we think of pride as someone who, oh, that person's cocky or that person's stuck up. And we may look at a video and see that. We may watch TV and watch it in terms of somebody being interviewed and they're saying, I'm the best at this sport or I'm the best at this skill. But pride manifests itself in each and every one of us every day. How? Well, say I'm driving my car down the road. I drive. Somebody cuts me off. Now, I don't know what they're going through, but I don't worry about that. I get angry. I get upset. So now I have road rage. Now it changes my mood. Maybe I give them the finger. Maybe I start cussing in my car. But I don't know what they went through, and who cares what they were going through? My pride would not allow me to just say, you know what, go ahead and go on about your business. I'm going to go on about my day. It won't affect me. You see, so I've allowed that person, whatever they were doing, whether it was right, wrong, or otherwise, for all I know, they might have gotten a phone call that just said, hey, your spouse of 50 years has just been shot in the head. You better get here or you've got 3 minutes. They're going to die in the next hour. They're going to die. They might have gotten news that, hey, you've got stage 4 cancer. There's nothing we can do. Go home and say your goodbyes to your family. We don't know what that person was going through. But because of my pride, then it's all about me and what I think the world should be. And that's where pride gets all of us, is that we walk around because the society has taught us that the world owes us something. And so that means that we face the world thinking that the way things should go the way we want them to go. And this is not our world. This is the Most High's world. And so what we need to do is be in tune with what the Most High wants us to do, the way the Most High wants things to be. That's what, when I get up every day, that's where I come short. That's what I have to work on. As I look at myself as an individual, as you look at yourself as an individual, instead of me getting up and thinking, okay, then, you know, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to conquer the world and it's mine for the taking. See, that's what this society teaches us. Go get the world. It's yours for the taking. You can do whatever you want to do. Well, the thing is, what I need to do is get up and say, okay, Heavenly Father, how can I do better at being in line with what you want so that I can make the world be better the way that you want it to be? then if I'm in line with the Most High, then the world will line up with me, for me. The birds are in line with the Most High. They're in doing what they're supposed to do, and that's why the world lines up for them. The bear is doing what they're supposed to do. When the bears get out of line is when man encroaches upon them. That's when the bears start sniffing around the trash and going into people's homes, and that's when they're out of their elements. You know, the killer whales are in the ocean. They do what they're supposed to do because they're in line with the spirit of the earth. They're doing what they're supposed to do, the way they're supposed to do it, the way the Most High ordained them. What happens is when man gets involved because of man's pride, we put them in tanks and say, "Sea world, come see them," and then they get sick, and that's been proven. That's been proven. So the world itself, the plants, you know, all the flowers, all the trees, all the plants, they're in line with what with the spirit of the earth that the Most High created. They're in line with the Most High. The birds, the animals, they're in line. It's we, quote unquote, mankind, humankind. And so we have to get out of our own pride in thinking that, you know, man conquered the earth, man conquered the moon. Man did this, man did that, as in humans did it. We need to get out of that and get in line with what the Most High wants. And a first step in that is learning how to, first you have to identify your pride. You identify your pride, and because if you can't identify the problem, you can't start to take the steps to improve it. Let's start with a great example of someone overcoming their own pride with temptation. Now, first, before we do that, we're going to go to, the first thing we're going to do is, yeah, let's go to Matthew 4 first. We'll start with Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. This will be an example when Christ had fasted and he was tempted of Satan. And this is something that's important to understand that this, because if you lived on this earth more than a month, I mean, literally, you recognize that the world is full of temptations. And they're nothing, and it's nothing nice, nothing good. It's full of temptations to take you away from what God ordained for us. So we'll start with Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. So Christ went out to the wilderness off by himself, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It's a long time. So, of course, he was hungry. If you've ever done a fast, shoot, if you've ever just gone a day and you looked up and realized you hadn't eaten, and you've been up since early in the morning, and it's late in the evening or late at night, yeah, you're hungry. So he was hungry. Verse 3, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." So now Satan's coming in, tempting him. You're hungry. Now, imagine yourself. You're being hungry, and you're fasting. You're doing that on purpose for some spiritual reason. Satan comes to you and says, "Look, you're hungry. You got some rocks over there. Just turn them into bread." That's, for you and I, that may not seem like a temptation, but the fact that Christ could turn them into bread, he could manipulate the molecules, then that is a temptation. Because you're sitting there, your stomach's grumbling. You probably got a hunger. He probably had a hunger headache. You know, he's feeling weak and shaky. And so now the temptation comes, make the stones bread. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But when he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So now Christ is backing him off. You have to see how these things come on you. And this is part of the process of getting over. Now, today's topic is pride, but we can apply any, whether it be lust, you know, greed, any type of temptation, anything in life that will keep us from stepping forward and being closer to the Most High, of doing right and stepping into a path of righteousness, because this world is full of negative and evil, which we all very much know. And so this can be applied in any point when you're being tempted. Now, what we're reading here is the Satan physically manifested himself. So you're looking at basically two men having a conversation, per se. But for all of us with that temptation, most of the time it's going on in your head. And a lot of times we don't even perceive it going on. For example, I used an example earlier of me driving a car and somebody cutting me off. That moment, I have options. And I have the option of getting angry and cussing or trying to drive up next to them or tailgating them or honking my horn and screaming, like an idiot. Or I could take a step back and just let it go and say, okay, but my pride, see, it's in that, and these things happen instantaneously. These things happen to us all day long, and we've all been cut off. Maybe somebody didn't put their blinker on, or maybe you're driving and somebody's just coming over into your lane. We've all had that happen. Or if you're waiting in line for something and you've been waiting in line and someone cuts in front of you, we all have these daily situations where, you're waiting at the store, and I don't care if you're at a bakery or you're at the grocery store, at the meat market, and they say, okay, who's next? And somebody else cuts in front of you. There's that instant where instead of saying, hey, you cut in front of me, then there's a moment where you can, instead of going negative with it, you can deal with it in a positive manner by saying maybe, okay, you go ahead. Or you can speak up for yourself, but not being angry at the person and trying to curse at them or call them names or anything and just saying, oh, I was next. But there are ways to deal with all these things. And it's not about that other person. Just like Christ wasn't making this about Satan, because this temptation, this was Christ's temptation. It wasn't Satan's temptation. It was tempting. He was trying to tempt Christ. And so Christ, his answer was, it's written, man's not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so Satan then, verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dashest thy foot against the stone. So then he put him way up on the top. If you think about these huge churches, these huge cathedrals, and he put him way up on top of the topest spire, way on the top. And Satan said, if you're the Son of God, then get down. Go on, jump down. Get yourself down from here, because the angels will carry you down and take care of you. But see, the temptation that he was trying to tempt Christ to do was to use his power for himself. Because if we keep in mind, and this is where studying the scriptures and meditating on them and thinking about them, that's where you'll understand that Christ's entire mission was not about himself. It was about bringing back that which was lost, which was bringing that covenant back to the children of Israel. So his whole purpose was for others. It was not for himself. And that's where, had he used his power for himself, see, that's where it would cross into being selfish, being greedy, being prideful. And that's where Satan was trying to tempt him. And Satan was doing it at a time when he was at his worst. When he was at a weak point, he was hungry, he was weak, and if you've ever, like I said, if you've ever fasted or if you've ever gone for a period of time without eating, then you do become weak, and a lot of times your mind can't focus properly, and that was where Satan was trying to get him and trying to trip him up, and that's where we have to start to recognize, and it's not an overnight thing, understand. It's not something you're going to snap your fingers to and all of a sudden you're perfect. That's not how this works, but it is a process. And the only way to become successful at something is to practice it. You have to start. You have to take a step somewhere. If you're going to a place, you say, I have a goal. The only way you can reach that goal is by taking steps to get to that goal. If you're going to a place, a location, you can't get there if you don't get up off your couch and head out the door. And that's the whole thing. So when it comes to pride and dealing with your pride, you have to really sit down And it can be some hard stuff because pride is, we get comfortable in our thoughts about how valuable we are to ourselves and how great we might think we are. And a lot of times we'll say, no, I'm not great. I'm humble. Well, that's a prideful statement there. And so it's very challenging because that's what this world we've been born into and raised in, a world that is full of pride, and it's all about pride. And it's all about how, you know, people want to show off their fancy shoes or their car, their shoes, their homes, their clothing, the fanciest purse that a woman has. And, you know, we have to show off our hair and then, you know, the nails and just, it's all about bragging and pride. Even when people aren't consciously saying, I'm going to do this to be prideful. And that's part of what this whole society, this whole world is built upon, as one of the things. It's not the only thing, but definitely one of the things that this world runs on is pride. And so we have to work very hard to maintain humility. And this was not easy for Christ, because you have to keep in mind, he didn't just fast for the day. It had been 40 days and 40 nights. So now we go further down in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, and saith unto him, this is Satan talking to him, and says, verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up. So Christ is being very straightforward, and he's locking in to, I'm not going to tempt the Most High. I'm not going to raise my pride up against the Most High. You're not going to get me, Satan. You're not going to get me to turn away from. You're not going to get me to get away from my faith in the Most High, my belief in the Most High, my reliance on the Most High. I'm not going to rely upon myself and what powers I have. I'm going to rely on the promises of the Most High. And that's what we have to automatically start. We have to do that so often that it becomes automatic for us, because we spend too much time relying on what we believe in, relying on what these products can give us. Because if you take this company's whey power, then when you go to the gym and work out, you're going to get bigger muscles. When you take this company's makeup and you put it on, you're going to be more beautiful than any other woman in the world because of their makeup. If you use this deodorant, you're going to stay drier than any other deodorant. I mean, it's on and on and on, and they sell it to us all day long. They tell you that this corn chip tastes better than the other corn chips. They tell you that this paper towel is more absorbent than any other paper towel. This toilet paper is thicker than any other toilet paper. See, that's what they tell you. So then I have to go get this one because this dishwashing detergent cleans better than that dishwashing detergent. I mean, and it sounds silly, and it is silly. But the thing is, that's what motivates us as people. So if them telling us that garbage is silly, then what does that make us? What does that make us? Because in that pride of, I'm going to get that dishwashing detergent, I'm going to get that laundry soap, this is going to make my clothes cleaner than the other clothes. And if there's a particular soap that works better for your situation, that's wonderful. But let's not get it twisted and mixed up, because all this stuff is full of chemicals. It's definitely not the dishwashing detergent. We didn't wash our dishes. In the past, the people didn't wash their dishes with the stuff they're using now. It's full of chemicals now. We didn't wash our clothes with that stuff. You know, people wonder why sometimes they have skin ailments and stuff. Sometimes it's the laundry soap. It's the, you know, we talk about all this Tide Pods and the Downy and all this stuff. Sometimes it's the chemicals and all that stuff that we subject, because you figure you subject your clothes to all that stuff. And then we put these clothes on our bodies, we're covered with it. And so we have to look at all these things. It goes so deep. We're going to talk more and more. We're going to get more and more into this in these classes, because this is what's necessary for us to understand that every single thing, every single product these companies try and sell us, it's all trash. And how do I know? I don't have to have a scientific degree or go to some lab and examine all these products. I don't have to do any of that. All I have to do is go into the book of the guideline of the guidelines to how to run the earth and recognize, well, are the things that the Most High, the creator of the earth, these are the things you use, are the products that these companies selling us, are they in there? And if they're not, then it's not good. That's all I need to know. I mean, of course, the fact that there are all these studies that have shown people getting cancer and having all kinds of ailments and the number of births of autism and stillbirths and, you know, all these things that are caused by products that are being sold every single day in the grocery store tells me. And so we have to wean ourselves. It's like we were born into a society and it's all drugs. It's like we're hyped up on the drugs because it's all of it. It's all these products. And we believe the hype. We believe the doctrine that they give us about how this will clean better and that will pick up you spill some liquid on the counter and that will pick it up better and this is healthier for you. And so what happens is we believe all this stuff. And so we feel like we have to buy Nike. We have to buy Tide. We have to buy Lysol. We have to buy, you know, one over another. We have to get Fabuloso. And we're indoctrinated with that. And the people who invent this stuff, they pay companies to come up with these jingles and these so their songs and these sayings and these statements. And they have all that stuff so that we remember it. And then we subconsciously we think about it, and that's what guides us in how we go in and buy our products, and we put it in our bodies, and we put it on our bodies, and we use it to clean our homes, and it's putting poison. We've got poisons in our homes. I mean, if you think about it, and, you know, you go under your cabinet in the sink, you go under your cabinet in the bathroom, you go out to your garage, and you have all these cleaning products that are, and it's all poison. And you can't tell me that's healthy for us. But we believe in it, and so we're going to go get that Pine Sol because it's going to be pine fresh. And that's why, because they paid an advertising agency millions of dollars to tell us that that's what it's going to be. And I promise you, if you haven't been to a pine forest, I have multiple times in life, and Pine Sol does not smell like a pine forest. I promise you that. And so that's where we have to get out of this pride, you see. That's where we have to get out of this pride that we have been taught about and we think we know best. Now let's get back to the scripture here, because Satan is tempting Christ, and it's important that we see how he dealt with it so that we can, as we start to work on our pride, we'll find that we're going to be tempted, and we have, in the past, we have allowed ourselves to be subject to this, and we have to stop doing that. We have to break that cycle. So now we are in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So now Satan took Christ up to this really high mountain and let him get a view of all of the kingdoms of the earth and all their glory. There's the wealth, the power, you know, the beautiful women, whatever it was that can be tempted. You think about what would tempt you. You know, we talk about, like, if I won the lottery, well, there's temptation there. If I won the lottery, then what? You know, you win the lottery. Let's see. Because people have won the lottery. People have big, giant contracts because they sold a lot of records. They can play basketball, football, sport. They can play sports really well. They can drive a car really well. People get fame and fortune. They can act really well. And they get the fame and the fortune, and for the vast majority, it's the same old stuff. Okay, I get a big house. I get the fancy car or cars or homes. I take big vacations, et cetera, et cetera. But there's so much more to it than just that. Okay, you're sitting back comfortable, and at the same time, the world's falling apart. Now, do people give? Yes. I'm not going to say every single person doesn't give somewhat, but the greed, the pride, it's all there, and we see it falling apart with folks. You know, people looked at P. Diddy, and some people who hear this might be younger, but I remember when he first came out, And, you know, when he was in his heyday, and it was all about popping the Cristal, it was all about the money, the women, the money, the power, the Benzes, made tons of records about it. You know, all of them, they make these records, they tell you in the music what they're doing, how they're living. That's not what Christ just said and what Christ is going through. So let's read this really quick. And I said, and I'm going to read verse 8 again. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. Now, if you don't think that that's not like somebody who is, who's a multimillionaire, even a billionaire, and has, you know, they've got the private jet, they've got the mansions, they've got access to the private yachts, or if they don't have their own yacht, they fly all around the world to all the kingdoms of the world. See, it sounds pretty similar. Now let's see how Christ dealt with it. Verse 9, and this is Satan talking, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. I'm going to give you all the power, the money, all that the kingdom has to offer, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now what's going to happen? Wait a minute. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Well, that's a pretty clear signal on what, you know, what's going on. Verse 10, then Jesus saith unto him. Now, did Jesus say, yeah, give me that lottery number? Did Jesus say, yeah, where do I sign the contract? Did Jesus say, well, wait a minute, let me call my grandmama and see what she has to say? Did Jesus pause and say, well, let me think about it. Give me 24 hours to think about it. No, it says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So that's the determination. And don't think it was easy for Christ to say that, but yet at the same time it was easy. Because Christ understood. He stayed focused. Because when you read about Christ's life, he was very focused on what he had to do. And so he prepared himself. He was very conscious of how to avoid the temptation, how to fight off the temptation, how to guide his life and stay focused. But it was still, the temptation is still there. I couldn't imagine having, you know, we talk about casually, we'll say, well, if I won the lottery. Well, for me, win the lottery, first I got to buy a ticket. I don't buy the tickets, so I know I'm not going to win. But it would be very difficult for a person because there's so much temptation. And they say, I've watched a lot of documentaries about people who've won, and they talk about how once you win, you know, you have to change your number. You have to disconnect your phone, change your number. You have to, many of them will move because you get, not only do you get the credit card offers come in, they're offering you all kinds of credit cards, and companies are offering you all kinds of deals. You can get great deals on a yacht. And all these things. So all this stuff, and then you have all these people that come from out of the woodwork talking about, I'm your long-lost cousin, third removed on your mama's side by marriage, and all this other stuff, and people just coming out of the woodwork that you had no idea, and strangers coming up to you saying, hey, I've got a great business idea, if you can just invest in me. So you have all this temptation going on, and people trying to get take from you. And so this is what Christ was very focused. He kept his pride in check. And so just to finish out the story, verse 11, Matthew 4 and 11, 4 and 4, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So the devil left him after that. And he realized, I'm not going to get nowhere with this dude. This just ain't going to work for me. I'm not going to get anywhere, so let me leave him alone because, you know, he's focused, he's on point, and he's got all his stuff lined up to where I'm not going to break him. And it's important because we break easily every day. How do we break every day? We eat food we're not supposed to eat. And I know because I do it. I'm not sitting here condemning any single person on here because I'm subject to it. And that's why I know it's a living thing. We all have to go through it every day. We eat things we're not supposed to eat. We do things we're not supposed to do. for the wrong reasons. And sometimes you can do something, but if your reasons aren't right, that's not good either. We have to really walk a certain way, because that's what the Most High intended for us to do, is to live a certain way. And he left us a guideline. And even though the world is turned upside down and we can't do things exactly the way the Most High would want us to do, he wants us to practice that. That's why he says rehearse the righteous acts. And Christ came to show how he was living in the world of the Roman Empire. And that was the world we live in today is built off of the Greeks and the Romans. So they were doing a lot of hedonistic things as well. Christ came to show us. After he left, Paul came in to show us. Paul was brought in to show us how a regular person, a person born of a woman and living life in the skin and being tempted in all the things of the world, you still can live a decent life according to the way the Most High wants you to live it and guide yourself righteously. Now, we're going to go to the Apocrypha now. I like the Apocrypha. It has some good stuff in it because we want to read the book of Ecclesiasticus. We are going to come back to Proverbs in just a few minutes. But it's something we have to understand. You have to really stop and think about it, because we move too fast. We don't stop and examine ourselves. And we don't stop and think about, why do I have to do this and why do I have to do that? Well, it's pride. It's, you know, why do I need to go have this plastic surgery for this? Why do I need to go and have this particular, you know, it's to show off. It's, you know, we'll say, well, I don't feel very confident about how I look. Well, the Lord's the one that made you the way you look. And one thing I can guarantee you is if you're worried about not being attracted to people, well, people who don't find you attractive, they don't count anyway. There's somebody out there for everybody. The Most High created it that way. The Most High made you the way you are because that's the way he wanted you to be. See, we live in a society that teaches us, you don't look according to the standard of what we think you should look. And most of that stuff is guided by these companies, because, you know, if you aren't searching to try and look better, then Revlon doesn't exist. You know, all these makeup companies don't exist. The clothing companies don't. All of a sudden, now they're out of business. And we're talking about multi-billion-dollar industries that now go bust. How much money is made in just having Air Jordans? And we know that people have been killed over Air Jordans. If people just bought shoes, then that's multi-billion-dollar industry alone, just in Nike Air shoes. And so there has to be, in order, so these companies look in and they stay behind the scenes. They're saying, look, if we have to make people, we have to make them want our product. How do we do that? Well, best way to make you want their product is to make you think that either without our product, you're ugly. Without our product, you're not cool. You know, our product is going to make you feel better. It's going to make you look better. It's going to give you swag. And that's what happens. So what do? Instead of teaching people how to sew leather, we make them desire going to buy leather bags that cost hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And we say, well, you have to have the Louis Vuitton purse. You have to have the DKNY or the Coach bag. You have to, because if not, who are you? Instead of saying, well, wait a minute, you know, if I get the right, I can go buy the right equipment and I can surf, I can get my own leather, make my own custom leather bag. If I want initials on it, I can put my own initials on it. But that's not, but that takes away the billion-dollar industries. And it also keeps you from, instead of you feeling less than and down and using these things to compensate and make yourself feel better, then you'll feel better because you're in line with the earth. You're in a better position. You're not subject to these companies. but they tempt you through your ego, through your pride. So let's go to Ecclesiasticus, chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. My son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation. So now, the reason I bring this up is, and we're talking about pride, but it can be anything. It can be lust and desires, and it can be all of the slothfulness. And, you know, they say the seven holy sins, the seven deadly sins. It can be anything. But if you're trying to change an aspect of your life, if you're trying to learn humility, prepare yourself for temptation. And that's what you see Christ, even Christ was tempted, so we know we'll be tempted. Verse 2, set thy heart aright. Set your heart in the right place and constantly endure. Don't endure a little bit. So in terms of pride, what I've learned from personal experience, as I've taken the journey to curb my pride and learning to become a much more humble person, the temptation to get away from that is there. I've had to learn how to set things right. I've set my boundaries and say, okay, this is where I'm going to be. Just like Christ had focused himself and told Satan, it's not good to tempt the Most High. As it's written, do not tempt the Lord thy Father, the Lord thy power, the Lord thy God. Do not tempt him. And that's, so I have to not tempt the Most High by leaning on my understanding and leaning on things that I believe in and thinking that I have the power, because I'm powerless without the Most High. And so I have to focus myself and endure. And it says, and constantly, not just sometimes, but constantly endure. And make not haste in time of trouble. So don't just run away when times get hard. That's when you have to dig in. You have to hold on. Verse 3, cleave unto him and depart not away. Cleave unto him means the Most High. Hang on, grab hold of the Most High in your heart. And don't go away from that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. Verse 4, whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully. See, that's the hard part. And that's where pride, that's where this really gets you. That's the one. Because when that person cuts you off on the road, just accept it for what it is. The funny thing is, people will talk about rush hour traffic, and I used to do this too. You have a job, and let's say, for example, your job, you get off at 5 p.m., 5:30 p.m., and you got to drive across town, halfway across town. Well, 5 p.m., 5:30, that's rush hour traffic. And you've been doing this job for, say, 2-3 years, I don't care, 10 years, 20 years. And you get frustrated every day, and you complain to friends, and you complain to family. You arrive in your car, and you get upset because the traffic is just so horrible. But the thing is, you're driving in rush hour traffic. Now, maybe the first few times you do it, you realize you can be upset. But at some point, if you've been doing it for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, why are you complaining? It's not going to change. You know it's rush hour traffic. You know you got to drive in it. What sense does it make to complain about it? Well, that's pride. That's you wanting the world to work the way you want it to work. Even though you know all the conditions in that situation, and you still want it to be the way you want it to be. That's why Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 2, verse 4 says, whatsoever, not just certain things, but whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully, and here's another part, more important even, or just as important, and be patient when thou art changed to a low estate. So you're in the traffic, and you're stuck in the lane, and what makes it even more frustrating is when you're like on a highway, or the freeway, the highway, or you're in a multi-lane, on a multi-lane busy street, and the other lanes are going faster than your lane. Then, oh, you really getting mad now. Oh, you are hot under the collar. because it's not working the way you want it to work. It's not going the way you want it to go. And that's why it says, be patient when you're changed to a lower state. For gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. So that's part of being accepted to the Most High. In order to get the purity out of gold, they have to put it under fire. They have to melt it down. They have to fire it. And the Most High is telling you, in order to, well, that in order for you to be acceptable, you're going to be tried in the furnace of adversity, because the Most High is going to put that heat on you to burn off all that garbage, to be able to get the garbage off of you. So you say you want to get rid of your pride? What's the best way to get rid of pride? Well, you have to be put in situations where you have to apply humility, which means you're going to be put in situations where you're going to have to fight through your pride to overcome it. Because you can't just walk around and say, oh, well, I've overcome my pride. Well, we don't know unless it's tested. The Most High won't know unless it's tested. And so he's going to test you. But that's good, because that makes you better. That's the whole point. It does make you better. Verse 6, believe in him and he will help thee. This is something to remember. Believe in him and he will help thee. Order thy way aright and trust in him. Order thy way aright. Get your steps going in the proper direction. Get your life going in the proper direction. And he will, and you're supposed to, and trust in him. If you say you're going to get with it, because the Most High said, try me, the Most High is going to do what he's going to do. He's going to be there. He promised he would. We're the ones who dropped the ball because of our pride, because of our pride, because of our ego, because why would we want to listen to what the Most High has to say? I mean, he's only the creator of all this. If he created it and he gave us the guidelines to create it, why would we not want to listen to it? Why would we not want to follow? Why would we not want to follow the guidelines? That's like going online and you look up, you put on navigation. You say, well, I don't know how to get to this place. And so you put up navigation in your car, whether your car has navigation or whether you put it on your phone. And so it tells you where to go, and you go the opposite direction. Why would you not follow the navigation? It's telling you where to go. Why not follow the navigation? Because of your pride. Because of your pride. Now, let's hold that. We're going to come back to that. We might come back to that today. We're going to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And today, again, and we can input lust. We can input jealousy. We can input procrastination. There's so many things we can input instead of saying pride. But we're just talking about pride today. This is one we'll talk about. We'll bring up pride again. There's a lot of pride going on, so it's a lot we're going to have to talk about. Proverbs chapter 16. And we're going to start at verse 2. And verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. See, we think, that's what we see. The ways of a man are clean. The way that we see things, oh, yeah, this is the right way. This is a good way. This is the way things should be done. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. See, in our eyes, we think one thing, but the Most High is checking what your spirit, what you got inside. He's testing, because that's where the real is. That's where the deep down truth is. The Most High checks your spirit and where you are. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So you have to commit. That's the thing, is our pride. We don't commit our works to the Most High. We don't involve him in the process. We don't pray to him enough. We don't think of him enough. We don't meditate on him in terms of making sure that what we're about to do is the right step for us. And that's where we wind up getting caught up in stuff. People talk about, I hate drama in my life, but it always seems to find me. Well, it's something you're doing. It's people you're hanging around with. It's decisions you're making. It's places you're going. It's how you are. You say you don't like the drama, but you obviously do. See, we don't set our way correctly with the Most High, and that's where we stumble and have problems. And then people look up and say, well, I don't understand why all this is happening to me. Really? I saw it coming down the road. I don't know how you didn't see it. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. So Most High has made all this. This is important to understand, is no matter how you slice it, no matter how you look at it, no matter how many ways you try and justify whatever, the Most High made everything. It's all of him, for him, from him. So the sooner that each individual, the sooner I can get with the program, with the Most High, the better I am. And he's made it very easy for us. We're the ones who make it difficult for ourselves and each other. The sooner that we recognize the Most High made this thing and he wants it to be a certain way, it's going to be that way, no matter whether we like it or not. That's what I had to come, and I understand it completely because, you know, the scriptures talk about how your earthly father is a physical representation of your father in heaven. And I was fortunate enough to have both of my parents. My parents would give us guidelines. I have siblings, and growing up, there were rules. We had rules in the house, how you're supposed to do things, how you're supposed to not do things, and all of that. And I was a bit on the rebellious side, and I would try and do what I want to do because of my own pride. And my parents, you know, they disciplined me, and I would still try and do what I want to do here and there. But every single time, things worked out to be the way my parents wanted them to be. And at some point in life, I recognized, you know what, I keep doing this and I keep doing that, and all it does is gets me punished. Whether it was I was getting a spanking when I was younger, and then as I started getting a little older, I get on punishment. Or some, you call it being grounded, restriction, or punishment. Either one of them three meant the same thing. I had privileges taken away. And the thing was, I finally got to a point where I recognized, you know, my parents have this program going, and it's in my best interest. The sooner that I can get with the program, the sooner, the better off I will be. Things will go smoother for me. Things will be better for me. So if Christ said the kingdom of heaven is within, and if the Most High made everything for himself, then everything belongs to the Most High. And if the kingdom of heaven is within us, the Most High who's within us, the kingdom of heaven is within us, then it would be so much easier for us. It would go so much smoother for us if we would go within and work on developing that heaven that's within us. And developing that means to overcome things like pride, ego, our own way of doing things. The sooner we get with the program, the easier life will be. Now, does that mean life is going to be perfect and without any kind of hiccups and without everything's just going to perfectly smooth for us? No, because there are other factors in that. And we're not really going into all the other factors right now because we're living in a world that is backwards. It's crazy. It's chaos. It's foolishness. You can't have an easy, satisfying, comfortable life in absolute chaos. But what you can do is line yourself up right. You focus on what you're trying to do, like Christ did. You stay focused when you're tempted from all this chaos. You stay, and then you take things cheerfully. Like Wisdom of Solomon said, whatever's brought to you, take it cheerfully because you see, that's because once you line yourself up right and prepare yourself for that temptation, and you acknowledge, you realize this is part of the program. This is part of what the Most High had set up. And I want to get with the program. I want to reach that kingdom of heaven that is within. Then I have to prepare myself for temptation and realize that the Most High, if I'm going through adversity, the Most High has deemed me acceptable. That's what we just read in Wisdom of Solomon. Wait a minute. Let's hold Proverbs chapter 16. Now, y'all already wrote this down. We don't have to, for those who are moving along, we don't have to go back into it. But I'm going to read what we just read a few minutes ago. Ecclesiasticus chapter 2 in the Apocrypha and verse 5. For gold is tried in the fire and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. So if you're going through adversity in the process of trying to line up your life right and get with the program of the Most High and reach within thyself to the kingdom of heaven, and you're going through those adversities, well, then that alone tells you that there's something acceptable about you because you're being tried. That's how it works. That's how this thing goes. Christ was tried through the furnace. The adversity he had is when he was at his lowest. He was hungry. He was tired. He was weak. And Satan just didn't just tempt you with some one-time situation. Satan was like, look, dude, you can have everything. You can be the king of the world. The king of the world. That's beyond just winning the lottery. Are you kidding? But Christ had prepared himself for temptation, accepted going through adversity. He took cheerfully when he was brought to a low estate. And as we're in Proverbs chapter 16, and as verse 3 said, and we'll read it again, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. See, Christ committed his works to the Most High, and his thoughts were established in that, the Most High. And that's why he was able to endure through that temptation. Now I'll read chapter 4 again. The Lord has made all things for himself. Keep that in mind. The Lord has made all things for himself, even the wicked for the day of evil. So even the wicked folk have their time coming. Verse 5. Everyone that is, here we go. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Well, would you look at that? Everyone that is proud of heart is an abomination to the Lord. I want to let that sink in for a moment. And he didn't just say, well, he really doesn't care much for that. He said it's an abomination. That's why we have to get away from pride. We have to get away from this idea that I'm this and I'm that. I don't need nobody. I did this all by myself. Snoop Dogg getting his star on the Walk of Fame. He said, I'd like to thank me. Because I did it, me. Okay, you keep on with that me stuff. See, the Most High is that, whatever you think, whatever you feel, look at his name, the Most High. If that doesn't tell you, the Most High. Now, how are you going to have pride and then say, I'm going to follow the Most High? That's what I'm trying to understand. If you've got an answer, I need to know. How are you going to come in and say, who is that? That's the Most High. Well, who are you? Oh, well, you know. Whatever you are, you're less high. How's that? That you don't exceed the Most High. That's the thing, is we run around so much and we're so involved, and that's what I mean about this world that has constantly got us tempted and got us on this path of destruction, because all we think about is how we, me, I, me, myself, and I, and that gets us into this thought process that we have some kind of power. That's why we run around here talking about we raising kings and queens. I'm not trying to be a king. I'm trying to be a servant. You know what David said? David said, King David, by the way, in case someone might be wondering, King David, he is the one that the Most High said, I find David a man after mine own heart. Now, the Most High ain't never said that about me. So it's in my best interest to listen, to study David, listen to David, and think about what David did. And King David said he wouldn't mind being a porter, a servant in the kingdom of heaven. That's what David said. And he was a man the Most High loved. And we down here on this earth talking about go, queen, go. See, that's pride. And we're encouraging each other with pride. That's us building ourselves up. When how are you going to say, I'm a son or a daughter, I am a child of the Most High, but then I'm talking about I'm king, I'm a queen. Who? What? Even Christ was the son of. He didn't even come in and use that as the title of king. He didn't say, I'm the prince. There is not once where it's recorded that he said, I'm the prince. So even he made himself to be of no acclaim. He made himself to be of no fame. He understood the dangers of allowing pride to step in. As a matter of fact, the sin that doomed Moses was pride. Let's let that sink in. And Moses was known as being man and the earth. And that was what God even made him. The Most High made him as a God to the Most High's chosen people. And his downfall was a moment of pride. Now, do I say that to condemn Moses? Heck no. I only wish to have been a 100th as good as Moses. But that just lets you know how susceptible this thing is. It's dangerous. And so we have to really be aware and be conscious of pride within ourselves. And it's a matter of really working hard, and it's practice. It's constant practice. The same kind of practice, and I use this a lot because most people, no matter what kind of music you like, we remember songs. We remember song lyrics. We'll forget a lot of things in life. We'll forget the math that we learned in high school. We'll forget the science. If you took chemistry class, you had to learn the periodic table. When you took government or history class, you had to learn the counties of your state or the states of the United States and the capitals. We'll forget all that stuff. But we won't forget the lyrics of that song that we heard 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We'll remember those lyrics. We might even remember the dance that we made with our friends to go with it. We'll remember all of that. And we even remember in that song where there's this one part, oh, wait a minute, here it comes, and they do a double hand clap, and then they do a hee-haw, and it's the only time in the song they do that. And you'll remember all those little nuances. And that one little part where they do one thing, and the song is 10 minutes long, and there's this one little guitar link that they do for 3 seconds. And you remember that part. You'd be like, wait, here comes my favorite part. And that part comes on. You remember that 30 years later. Why do I know this? Because I tell you, I can remember songs like that. And I said, wait, here comes my favorite part. And it's one little ding in the song. And I remember that. But now, do I remember about pride and about how Christ laid his to the side and didn't let it tempt him, and how Moses fell because of one piece of it? That's where we have to look and think and consider and really meditate on. And it's obvious, no one expects you to sit and study the scriptures 24 hours a day, but you got to get a little bit in there. Whether you're reading it, and sometimes it can be difficult to read. Well, audio books. you know, there's audio books. And no one says read it every single day, like I said, 24 hours. Get bits and pieces. Put it in your headphones. You know, you're going to sleep. Instead of watching TV and fall asleep in front of the TV to a movie that's trash and garbage, and then maybe put on some scriptural, somebody, the audio book of the scriptures. At least meditate on it when you're driving where you have to go. When you're at work and you have a few minutes and someone's stressing you out, instead of focusing on that stress, focus on, okay, let me work on letting that go. Let me work on letting that be, because Christ let that go. Because the scriptures talk about, if I want to be acceptable, then I have to take things cheerfully when I'm being tempted. This is such a real deep thing. Proverbs 16:5, again. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. See, just because, you know what, let's look at some of the things going on in the world today. You know, we see Puff Daddy as one example. You know, oh, he's, you know, Harvey Weinstein. There was a time when he was, oh, he's the big producer in Hollywood, and everybody wanted to get near him because he had the deals and he could make and break careers. And people would join hand in hand to give him awards and give him accolades. And yay for, you know, for Puff Daddy, yay. So hand join in hand. The whole world is holding hands and not physically, but just even if it is physical, but just in terms of everybody's in agreement about, oh, look at all these businesses they have and all this money and all this fame, and they've made careers and they're so popular and famous. But what happens? He shall not be unpunished. See, that's that pride. It's that pride. We've got to get away from that, because it's not going to – the Most High, you have to understand, the Most High counts time differently than we do. We think, you know, first of all, we say life is short. Not for the Most High, it's not. When you live forever, when you are time, let me use this phrase correctly, when you are time, then forever is nothing. And so the Most High, it may seem like, oh, well, you know, they're blessed. The Most High is just taking his time to do what he wants to do in the period that he wants it done in. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth. It doesn't say by pride. And part of pride is ignoring or denying. See, denying truth, denying mercy, because it's about you. And it's not about others and being kind and being generous and being giving and all the things that Christ showed us to be. And by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. See, and by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. See, you get away from all that foolishness, that filth. You get away from pride when you fear the Most High, because you're working, you're actively working at improving yourself and trying to get away from thinking that you're almighty, you're great, you're perfect. And trying to line yourself up in the ways that the Most High wants you to be. Verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You see, that's part of people wondering, why is all this happening to me? Why am I having trouble at the job? Why am I having trouble at home? Why am I having these difficulties? Well, stop thinking you're number one. Stop thinking the world revolves around you. Get away from your own pride, put that to the side, and start lining your heart up properly with the Most High. That's what's going to get you where you need to be. That's what's going to get you what you need to get. That's going to make things right with the Most High, and he'll make even your enemies will be at peace with you. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. It's better to have few things, to have little in life, than to be very wealthy without having righteousness, without having truth. Because it's about truth. It's about righteousness. That's what the Most High talks about. Christ didn't talk about getting wealthy. Christ was talking about wealth of spirit. It really breaks down to truth. And the way you get to truth, you have to get to the core of things. And your pride's not going to get you from truth, because the pride takes you away from truth, because pride takes you into a space where it's all about you. And you being greater than someone else, you being better than others, you being the best and thinking that you're just the best. That's where pride takes you. And that keeps you away from truth, because the truth is the Most High is the best. Truth is Christ is best. That's what truth is. And so us coming along as individuals and thinking that we're the best, when what we have is given to us by the Most High. See, we even forget that part. And that's where pride comes in. And that's, see, those things are where pride separates you from the Most High, because you, number one, you don't even acknowledge, you think I'm better than all these people on the earth or all these people around me, whatever it is. I'm better than these people. That also keeps me from acknowledging everything that I have and all the abilities that I can do are given to me by the Most High. So I'm caught in this cycle, and it's a cycle that I invented, and it's a cycle that I keep going, and it feeds upon itself, because I think I'm something that I'm not. I think I'm better than what I am, and it makes me think that I'm better than the Most High, and that's why people don't feel like they need the Most High, and that's why people can very easily, even people who, oh, I go to church every Sunday, this coming Sunday, they're about to go to church, and they're going to wear their whitest white, their brand new white suits and white dresses with the white gloves and the white hats with the white lace. And they're going to step on in there and think they're just as pure and righteous, because they're looking white for Jesus and they're looking white for the Lord. And that's all pride. That's all pride. They're doing they did it the day after Sabbath. Number one, most of them, they're going to do it the day after Sabbath, because on the Sabbath, they're going to be heathens. You know, and then they're going to go home, and what are they going to do? They're going to participate in a pagan holiday, Easter eggs, all of which is all about fertility. Because people don't put together that rabbits are mammals. They don't lay eggs. They have live babies. So how is a rabbit? And what is worshiping a rabbit supposed to do anyway? But we're going to make them chocolate eggs so the kids can have fun. So we're going to indoctrinate our children into this accursive pagan heathen ritual and say it's for Jesus. Jesus didn't have nothing to do with no Easter. And look, it's right in that same Bible that they go to church and say they're good Christians following Jesus with. And they're dyeing their Easter eggs, you know, all kind of colors, and hiding them in the yard. And why do they do that? Because of pride. It all comes back to pride. Because of pride. And they don't, but that's because people are not trying to follow the Most High. Their pride is having them follow society's rituals. Verse 9, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. See what's in our hearts? And that's where the pride is. That's where we, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Now, you haven't considered what's right, what's wrong. You haven't considered what the Most High wants. You just decide you're going to do what you're going to do. Well, the Most High is going to direct your steps. The Most High is the one that is going to say whether or not you're going to do this or you're going to do that. It's the Most High who decides, well, this is what I want. This is the way I want things to be. Not you. Let's jump down. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Now listen to that. Wait a minute. Now, I'm trying to win the lottery. I'm not trying to gain wisdom. I'm trying to get that big NBA contract. I ain't trying to get wisdom. And we know that because that's why folks go broke after getting all that money. How are you going to make $100 million and you have to file bankruptcy? Because it's better to get wisdom than gold. That's why. It's better to get wisdom than gold. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Gaining understanding is better than getting silver. It's all about wealth. That's what it's talking about, the acquisition of wealth. Because our society is guided on getting that bag, as they say. Get the bag, get the cheese, get the loot, get the skrilla, get the bread, get the scratch, get that cheddar. See, that's what society, that's what it's all about. And why? Because how are we going to buy these expensive leather handbags that we don't know how to make ourselves? We have to buy a $300 belt because we don't know leather working enough to make our own belts. We buy these overpriced Nike Jordans because we don't know how to make our own comfortable, good quality leather shoes. And in order to get those Jordans, well, you got to have lots of money. And so we don't, and that's where, see, the wisdom is in knowing how to make the stuff yourself. The understanding is understanding how to make it yourself and make it to last. But we don't want that. We want the money so we can go buy it. We got to have more money than anybody else so we can go buy more, even though we can only have one at a time. I can only wear one belt at a time, but I want to go out and get some more money so I have 50 of them in there and can show everybody I got this Valentino belt and this other belt by Hermes and all the, But it's pride. That's why. Because we've all been indoctrinated with this. We've been indoctrinated with that's how it's supposed to be. And it's not. That's why the Most High is telling you it's better to get the wisdom than the gold. It's better to get the understanding than silver. Verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Listen at that. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. You got to take that turn. You got to get off this road of filth and destruction, this corruption and destruction that we're on. Get over on the highway toward the Most High. And that's why, but keep in mind, when you're going to get on the highway of the upright, what was it Ecclesiasticus said in the Apocrypha? You have to prepare yourself for temptation, but you have to take things cheerfully, what's brought upon you. When you're brought into a low estate, take it cheerfully. Be prepared. Be ready. Don't let it trip you up. Don't be quick to leave because you get tempted. Don't be quick to give up. You have to maintain your faith and endure. And in the end, he will be there for you because this is what he set up. And you say, well, how do I know the Most High is going to be there for me? Well, we read about how Christ was tempted on the mountain and how he stayed strong. And we know what happened with him. So I'll play those odds. I'll take those odds better than being on this other stuff. Because what this stuff is, this is all, it's a highway of poison and corruption and greed. And that's why, again, we go back to, they sell us all these products that are diseased, that they cause disease and ailments and all this stuff. And they don't care. They really don't. It's just a matter of, okay, when these companies come up with products and they have their labs studying and testing and doing all this stuff, they, excuse me, they say, okay, the lab comes back and says, well, a certain number of people might get sick from this. I say, okay, well, are they going to die? Well, we might have a couple die. Okay, how many, what's the percentage of people that will die? How many people will die? Well, it's less than 0.001%. Okay, let's put it on the market. Because by the time that they figure out that our product is causing the problem, and by the time enough people, it happens to enough people, by the time they try and sue us, we'll be 40 years down the road, 50 years down the road. We can get the laws changed around. We'll figure out the product by then. And these companies do that because they know that even if they lose a lawsuit, the amount of money that they'll lose in the lawsuit will not outweigh the amount of money they're going to make. That's why. And that's why the Most High said here, in fact, proof that they do this was, for those who are old enough to remember, and if you're not old enough to remember, I'm going to explain it to you, about the tobacco industry lawsuits. The tobacco industry had been putting in all of these chemicals and poisons in cigarettes, and they knew about it. And there were emails, there were old internal emails between in companies that even they admit. They put rat poison, they put formaldehyde, they put all kinds of stuff in chemicals, and they knew that cigarettes were causing cancer. They didn't care. They kept producing cigarettes because cigarettes was one of the biggest industries on the planet, and it was a huge moneymaker. So eventually in the late 80s, or I guess it was in the late 80s, early 90s, basically every single state sued the tobacco companies, and the tobacco company lost the cases in every single state. And what they did was, part of the punishment, they had to pay money, and they also had to, now they what they did was they said, you have to pay X amount of dollars over this number of years, and it was hundreds of millions of dollars over, I don't know, 20 years or something like that. It was a huge amount. It was one of the biggest lawsuits in the world, in history. And they had to put the label on cigarettes that say these may cause cancer. Now, some of them did change the formula a little bit, but the whole point was they still didn't take cigarettes out of existence. And these companies were big enough that they still stay open, because you can still go, let's face it, I don't care what state you're in, where you go, cigarettes in every convenience store, the gas stations, the grocery stores. I mean, cigarettes are everywhere. They're everywhere. The drug stores at the corner, they're still around. And so instead of just, and then what they do, they turn around and just, let's invent vaping, bring in a whole other generation. And that's where verse 17 of Proverbs 16, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. So that means the highway, the other highway is the highway of evil. And that's what it's all about here. And so we have to prepare ourselves. And part of that is getting rid of the pride, because like in verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. So we've got to get out of being abominable to the Most High. We have to get out of being, you smell, you stink. See, everyone's thinking, oh, I'm so righteous. I go to church and I believe in Jesus. And the Most High is saying, you know what? You're filthy. You're filthy to me. You're rotten. And so we have to keep in remembrance, because even pride will have us thinking, that's what pride has you thinking, oh, yeah, the Lord loves me. And that's what people talk about. My Lord loves me. I got a good Lord who sticks with me. But you ain't sticking with the Most High. Are you kidding? He's watching you be filthy and perverse and evil and nasty and first and foremost being prideful. My God loves me. That's all pride. And it's like I said in the very beginning, pride comes on us. We don't even realize the levels of pride that we deal with every day, that we within ourselves hold. Even making statements like that. My God loves me. That's what I'm talking about, my pet. My pet dog, my pet chihuahua loves me. My pet Rottweiler loves me. God is not a pet. And it's pride that makes us think we can speak to him or speak of him like that. And it's our pride that has us operating the way we do in everyday life. And that's why we see you know, there are YouTube channels. I follow one. It's called Karens in the Wild, and it's just video clips from all over the world of Karens just acting, people acting stupid. You see people come in, and they went to Subway Sandwiches, and they got a sandwich, and they asked for no onions, and they put onions on the sandwich. And so the person, instead of saying, hey, this sandwich is not correct, you know, let's get it fixed, instead they take the sandwich, and they throw it and hit the person in the face, hit the employee in the face. Or they come in and they throw things at the employees, and they cuss out the people who work at the place, tearing up chairs and tables and stuff. It's like, why would you do that? You can be, you know what, there's no law against being frustrated. The Most High knows that you can be frustrated. He knows you can get angry. But there are guidelines on how you're supposed to behave. Even in the scriptures, it talks about how you should behave when you're angry. But because of pride, people feel like I can do whatever I want to do the way I want to, when I want to. And that's, again, we have to get away from that. We have to get out of that mentality and learn to humble ourselves and realize we are so far away from where the Most High wants us to be. We're so far away from being the servants and the followers and the children of God that we think we are. Because the very earth is in line. We're out of sync. We're out of sync. That's why we don't understand how what's about the earth itself? It works. There's a spirit in the earth that works because it's in line with the Most High. And we tamper with things and mess stuff up. And we've been messed with in our heads in terms of what we've been indoctrinated with. That's why we poison to us. And that doesn't make sense, that we eat stuff that's poison to us. We drink things that are poison to us. And we do it willingly. No one has to twist our arms. And so it's going to take us having some self-discipline, self-determination, and reaching toward one another and being patient with one another, being patient with ourselves and patient with one another. Looking and examining it, how can I improve myself and get out of my own way? We are the ones, I'm the one in the way of me having a better relationship with God. Each of us is in our own way. And part of it starts with our pride. Proverbs 16, oh, I like this one. And verse 18. No, let's start at 17 again. Proverbs 16 and 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So when you're getting on that highway of the upright, when you're getting on that path, you've set that goal to try and get away from the ways that you've been, the ways that the world is, and you're trying to move in a direction, and you, as we read in the Apocrypha, you prepared yourself for temptation, and you're trying to endure. It's a process. You're getting along there. Then we find that doing that and keeping yourself in that direction, that's what's going to preserve your spirit. That's going to preserve your soul. Verse 18, pride. Here we go. What are we talking about today? Pride goeth before destruction. Listen at that. Pride goeth before destruction. Now, you may have been sitting there thinking, everything he said up to now, I ain't trying to hear all that. That's just him running his mouth, blah, blah, blah. Well, I didn't say it. Proverbs said it. So you and that prideful talk can think on that one. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, some might not know what haughty means. Now, for those who don't want to Google it, I Googled it for you. Having or showing an attitude of superiority. That's what haughty is. Having or showing an attitude of superiority. So having an attitude of superiority, having that type of spirit, goes before a fall. So one of the quickest ways to come to your own destruction, to fall even further from where you are, is to be prideful. That's why it's important to really stop and consider and learn to humble yourself before the Most High. And not so that other people can see it, but, you know, the Most High sees it. And that's the whole point, is really to buckle down, to humble yourself, and to think about how you conduct yourself. Verse 19, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So it's better to be down with the humble folk, with the people of a low estate. And that's why we see when they said that Christ was out there with sinners and publicans, he wasn't out there rolling with the rich, those who were politically connected, those who were wealthy and famous. He wasn't running around with them. He was running around with the lowly folks who were humble and sincere. That's who he was down there dealing with. Verse 20, and he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. See, so whoever deals with a matter wisely will find good. But you can't deal with something wisely when you're dealing with pride, when you're just being egotistical. Because when you're being egotistical, you're doing things not for wisdom's sake. You're doing things out of your ego, whether it's you want to make some money, whether you want people to look at you and call you, you know, say that and give you praise your name, whatever the reason is, it's all about you. You're getting an award or some kind of recognition. And that's why whoever handles a matter wisely shall find good. And so whosoever trusteth the Lord, happy is he. So you want to be happy. You're talking about, all I want to do is be happy. Well, trust in the Most High. And see, it's easy for folks to trust in the Most High. Like this Sunday, it's going to be easy for people are going to be trusting the Lord all kind of ways on this coming Sunday. Easter Sunday, Lord, I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. But what about the rest of the time? See, that's all for show. And that's dealing with pride. And remember, pride goeth before destruction. And those who deal with pride, everyone that's proud in heart is an abomination to the Most High. Verse 21, Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. So now the pride in, it says here, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. Now prudent means you're acting with or showing care for the future or being wise. So the wise in heart shall be called prudent. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that have it. But the instructions of fools is folly. So now, understanding is a wellspring of life. A wellspring of life. Now, we talk about a spring as in a spring of water. See, it's a spring of life. Understanding brings forth life itself. It's, you have knowledge. You've been enlightened. To each person that has that, it's enlightening. Very enlightening, and it's wonderful instruction. But the instruction of fools is folly, is silly, it's foolishness, it's useless. And someone who's dealing with their own pride, who's being prideful, it's foolish to listen to them because they're working an angle. It's all about something that they want, what they want to get accomplished or what they want to have, and it's not something that is dealing with the Most High and the ways of the Most High, because they've got some egotistical reason, some reason based on that pride for giving whatever advice they're giving, doing whatever it is that they're doing. And that's not the type of person that the Most High deals with, and it's not the kind of person you need to deal with. And that's why you have to be on that highway of the upright and depart from that evil. Get away from that. Keep away from it. Because remember, pride goeth before destruction. And I keep trying to say that. People keep getting in trouble. So next time you get into some serious stuff, you'll know, well, maybe it was my pride that got me here. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Listen at that. Listen at that. The heart of the wise. The heart of the wise. That spirit of wisdom. His mouth. It'll teach you what to say. Teach you how to speak, how to address things. And addeth learning to his lips. It adds learning to you. You'll have knowledge. You'll have understanding. You'll know, because wisdom is not just having the knowledge, it's knowing how to use it, knowing when to use it. Verse 23, the heart of the, oh, excuse me, verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And now, if you've never eaten honeycomb before, it is delicious. It is very, it's a sweet delicacy of life. It really is. It's natural. Obviously, it's from honey, so you got natural sweetness. But and back then, keep in mind, they didn't have chocolate factories and all these types of things back at this time when Proverbs was written. So a natural delight was definitely a good piece of honeycomb, and that's why he's using that as an example. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So keep in mind, because you see how in our society, everybody's quick to want to use evil words and negative towards other people. And that's because of pride, because something didn't work out the way I wanted it to. So now I'm going to cuss and scream and holler at somebody and act a fool. Home. They're sweet. And so part of the eliminate pride from yourself, part of eliminating, part of that process is learning to be more effective at using pleasant words. You see, there's spirit in the words that we speak. And practicing using pleasant words, and that doesn't mean you go around and say, oh, yes, 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 and you agree to everything. But just being more pleasant in general in your communication, in your conversation, you'll see how that will help curb some of the negative that surrounds you, some of the negative that you encounter. It'll also be helpful in this process of breaking yourself of the pride. You got to break that out of yourself. And it's not easy. I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do, but it's a process that you have to dedicate yourself to, just as when we read when Satan was tempting Christ, he was dedicated, Christ was dedicated to his path, his mission in life. We already know that. We didn't have to read that story to know. Christ was dedicated on his mission. We know that his ministry was 3 years, but in that 3-year period of time and his 30 years of life leading up to it, then he was dedicated to his path in life. That the years that leading up to that was what brought him to the point where he could focus on his mission and apply what he had to apply. So that 30 years that we don't have, we understand what it brought him to, but look at all the things he had to go through to get to that point. See, people don't think about that part, that there was 30 years of his life that he had to live as a carpenter's son. And he had to live that life. And the things, the trials and tribulations and things he went through, he had to fight through his own pride, get to the point of when all of a sudden now he's on this mission at 30 years old, he's on this mission to go out and gather people and teach the Most High's people and heal people. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and all these other negative people that he had to step into. He stepped into, it was a hornet's nest. And he had to step into that and remain humble and not let his pride take him away from where he was. Well, the only way he could be prepared for that was he spent his 30 years being prepped through life experiences. But he prepared himself, just as in Ecclesiastes. See, Proverbs said, about being on the highway. Verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. And then Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha tells us in chapter 2, verse 1, and this is all stuff we've gone over today, my son, if thou comest to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation. So if you're coming to serve the Most High, you're going to be tempted. But the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. So prepare yourself to be tempted. But being tempted doesn't mean you fall for it. The attempt, just as Christ was tempted, Christ didn't fall for it. Why? Because Ecclesiasticus chapter 2, verse 2, set thy heart aright, endure. Set thy heart aright. Because when Christ, he had 30 years to get himself together and get ready, and when the time came, he was already in the right frame of mind to be on the highway of the upright, which is to depart from evil. So he was on that road, that highway. And highways back in those days, obviously they were paths. They didn't have cars. They weren't on the toll roads and all this stuff like we're here today on the freeway. But it was a main road that would go places to the different major places. And Christ was on that path spiritually. It was the highway of the upright. And because he was coming to serve the Most High. He had prepared himself for temptation. That's part of the fasting process, to prepare himself for the next level. Then when the temptation came upon him, he had set his heart aright, and he constantly endured. And that's what we have to do, is set our hearts aright and constantly endure. Why? Because Proverbs 16, where we just read a few minutes ago, verse 6, everyone that is proud of heart is an abomination to the Lord. And verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we have to prepare ourselves for the temptation. We have to constantly endure, because otherwise we're going to be an abomination to the Most High. And I've been a lot of things in life, but the last thing I want to be is an abomination to the Most High. People can think whatever they want to about me, but I do not want to be an abomination to the Most High. And so I have to set my heart aright. I have to get my mind focused and constantly endure and be prepared for temptation and do what I can to get on and stay on the highway of the upright. Those are the things that I have to do. Now, Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, see, that's why it said, set your heart aright. Get your heart, get your mind in the right space. Get in the right frame of mind. Set yourself right. And constantly endure. Prepare for temptation, because there's a way that seems right to some, to you, but in the end are the ways of death. He that laboreth for what? Himself. He that laboreth work. He that works for himself, for his mouth craveth of him. See, there's a way that's not right to a man. The man thinks it's right. Why? Because of pride. I'm doing this, and I know this is the right thing. And that's why we have all this foolishness going on out here, because people think that's right. Everybody running around acting like a fool because they're trying to get that money. When we hear that getting wisdom is better than getting gold, and getting understanding is better than getting silver. You know, when we get out of this pride, now we're starting to see that getting all that wealth, that's why there's a way that seems right to a man, to a person. A person thinks they're doing right, and they go get the bag. This is how I go get the bag. But in the end of the ways of death, their spirit is dead. Their spirits are dead. Well, they're physically walking around, but they're walking dead. Your spirits are dead. The Most High deals with your spirit. See, the Most High deals with your spirit. And that's where, see, that's where, in fact, in we're in Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Listen to this. Proverbs 16 and 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Back to verse 2. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. Verse 25. But the end thereof are the ways of death. It's that pride. We think, oh, this is right. I'm going to do this. This is what I need to be doing. I'm going to get this bag. I'm going to get this money. But the scriptures tell you it's better to get wisdom. It's better to get understanding than to get gold and silver. It's better to humble yourself and get rid of that pride, because pride is abomination. And it's all about being on the highway of the upright. But on that highway, as we get on that highway and as we're going along, we have to prepare ourselves for temptation. We have to constantly endure. We have to maintain our faith. We say we want to follow Christ. These are the ways of following Christ. It's not about going to church this Sunday. It's about being on the highway of the upright. Because people go to church all the time, and when they're in church, oh, they're singing the songs, they're clapping their hands, they're following along, and then when they get out of church, they're just as wicked and buck wild as they can be all week until they get back to church on Sunday. And so that's why it's important to constantly endure and understand that, as Ecclesiasticus told us in the Apocrypha, that gold is tried in the fire of adversity, and acceptable men. Listen to that. Acceptable, that's the key. And acceptable, let's go here and read this. We're still back in Proverbs, but in Ecclesiasticus, and we read this earlier, chapter 2, verse 5, for gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. Whatsoever, verse 4, whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully, and be patient when thou art changed to a low estate. When stuff is hitting you, be patient. Take it cheerfully. Verse 6, believe in him, and he will help thee. Order thy way aright, and trust in him. Order your way aright. Order your way correctly. Where? Proverbs 16 and 17, on the highway of the upright, which is to depart from evil. Why? So that you will not be an abomination. Because if you're proud of heart, you're going to be an abomination to the Most High. And remember, that pride goeth before destruction. That's where it is. That's where it is. And so that's why we have to be careful about this. Let me jump down. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, than those who are strong. He that is slow to anger. You have to be patient to this thing. We're talking about pride today. And we can plug in some of the others. We'll get into some of the other things, the other temptations. But with pride, we see that it's very specific. It's an absolute abomination. And the Most High does not respect it. He doesn't love it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want it anywhere near him. Because that's you thinking that you, like people walking around, I'm God. No, you're not. The Most High is God. The Most High. That's, again, he's the Most High. People don't even, they bypass that because of their own pride. They bypass the fact that his name tells you all you need to know. The Most High. And so we have to really line ourselves up. And so it takes work. It takes patience, though. It's not an overnight thing, because we've had years and years and years of corruption to invade and indoctrinate our minds, to quote-unquote brainwash us, and getting that cleaned up is a task. It's a constant task, but it says prepare yourself and constantly endure. And that's what we have to do, is constantly endure. And as we continue on with these classes, we'll get into how different people did endure these things. And that's the importance of, there are many things, but that's part of the importance of understanding the history of the Bible. It's not just to read the history and feel good about the history. It's to read the history and understand, okay, there were people, and we can read it in the scriptures, there were people who were unsuccessful, there were people who were successful. And obviously, we want to read about both. Because the ones that were unsuccessful, we can examine, okay, why were they unsuccessful? In other words, what mistakes did they make where they failed and where they fell short? So we can avoid that. And then we want to read about the ones who are successful so we can figure out, okay, how can we emulate that? How can we practice that? How can we apply that to our lives so that we can be successful as well in getting through this? Because the world is starting to see, you know, you don't have to be a brain surgeon. You see, it's all over the internet. It's all over social media. You see stuff is going down. And that anybody who doesn't see it is a fool. They're blind. They ain't paying attention to nothing. And so you see, but this is not the end. And so it's going to get worse. In order to endure all of this, first step, we got to get rid of our pride. We have to get ourselves lined up correctly with the Most High in how He does things, and how He feels about things, and how he set the world up. We're the ones who are out of place. We're the ones who are off key. The whole earth, the universe is singing a song, and we are out of key. So we've got to get in step. We have to get in step. We have to get in key, in the harmony. We have to become in harmony with the Most High and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. It's a process. And we're going to help each other get there. And so with that, until next week, I say to all of you, peace, harmony, and shalom. Have a good week.